Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Mark, Blaine, and Kevin. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
David Beauclair's music. Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone, 7:02 The Time, The Wake Up Zone. We are powered by the Tennessee Lottery in our segments every Thursday morning with David Beauclair from the Nashville Post, sponsored by the Tennessee Lottery as well. Proud to have raised more than $5 billion, billion with a B, for education. Always great to have David with us. Want to join us, 615-737-1045. Also have Dennis Kelly join us next segment, so stay tuned for that. David, what's happening this morning? How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Good. How's everybody in here?
Yeah.
Good.
All right. OTAs are underway.
Underway.
You know, and obviously Marcus Mariota, you know, when you talk about, you know, Titans who are in a make good situation, you know, we were saying, you know, leading up, Titans were 9-7 last year with Mariota, you know, putting up pretty pedestrian numbers, you know, especially when it came to touchdowns and interceptions. 11 touchdown passes. I mean, that's hard to believe. A starting quarterback in the NFL for a 9-7 team had 11 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions. And what I was saying was, I guess that speaks well for the coaching staff, you know, who didn't get a lot of production either on the other side of the ball from their two main rush linebackers, Arakpo and Morgan. But Boak, when it comes to Mariota, you know, obviously, you know, I think his role in the offense, I don't want to say it's diminished, but I think it's changed a little bit because they talked about how the offense sort of, you know, was going to go through Marcus when Vrabel came in. And now, obviously, it's going to be Derrick Henry. But, you know, what are your thoughts on the changes and Marcus in 2019?
Yeah, I think that's... I mean, I've talked about it. I think Derrick Henry is the key to this entire offense. And I think what has happened, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Bradys and the Drew Breeses of this world have fooled us all into thinking about what, or have skewed us in terms of thinking about what an NFL offense should be and how it should operate. Those guys are still the exception.
But what about Goff and Mahomes?
Well, see, I would say, is it Goff or was it when Todd Gurley took off? I would say, look at Dak Prescott when he's had Ezekiel Elliott in the lineup and when he hasn't. I think it's still, for the vast majority of quarterbacks in this league, I think it still comes down to if you have a running back who can demand attention from a defense, then things get a lot easier for your quarterbacks. And the Titans are in that situation. You know, Mahomes looks like the exception, but you know, Kareem Hunt was a pretty good back for them too until he had his situation. So, you know, we'll see about that. But I think the whole thing, because Marcus's best season, now I know last season his completion percentage was up, but I don't think there's any question his best season was 2016, and that's when DeMarco Murray was rushing for almost 1,300 yards. I mean, if you really look at it, running backs are still they're still the key to most quarterback success in this league.
Well, with that being said, though, added to that, Mark, I mean, guys, is that then why is the running back position being devalued?
Because those guys don't play 15 years in the league. Right. That, you know, that it's not that they're devalued so much as that you can't, teams are afraid to invest in them because of the pounding they take and how short their careers tend to be. And you know, quarterbacks quarterbacks get a little smarter along the way. They learn how to dictate things to the defense. Once running backs start to decline, I mean, we've all seen it. Guys just tend to fall. Most guys just fall off the cliff. Adrian Peterson looks like the exception right now, but even he's not, clearly he's not what, he's not the Adrian Peterson we remember, but he is still productive.
Well, the reason why I bring that up is because the type of money that the quarterbacks are going to be making, I don't think that they all should be exceptions. I think that's where it becomes, because then the pressure for them to perform, even if you have a running game or not, that if you're making $30 million, you're supposed to make everybody else around you better.
Yeah.
And not that, the other way around, where the running back makes you better. You make the running back better. You make the receivers better. You make your offensive line better.
And that's where I think the thinking has gotten skewed. And you're exactly right. The contract numbers say you have to be the best player on the team. And when Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees have gotten some of the contracts they've got, when Joe Flacco got the contract he got, that changed the whole market for quarterbacks. Now, every starting quarterback in the league says, I need to get $20 million or more. And that money's got to come from somewhere else. And, running backs have paid the price quite literally more than others have. But some general manager somewhere is going to figure out how to convince his quarterback, I'm going to pay you $13 million a year, and I'm going to take the extra money and I'm going to get you this, I'm going to get you that, and it's going to make you a pro bowler and an all pro and all these other things. And I don't know how some general manager is going to figure that out, but when one does, I think you're going to see, and that's why I say too, the Titans have missed an opportunity. When you look at Patrick Mahomes playing on a rookie contract, they were able to get him lots of other pieces. Jared Goff currently playing on a rookie contract, and look at how active the Rams were in free agency and whatnot after he had one good season. Trying to do everything you can until you have to start paying that quarterback, and that's why the Titans are in a tougher situation right now, because they're paying Mariota almost $21 million this year, and that price tag might go up if they decide to keep him after this season.
What do you think about what the national pundits are all saying? That Marcus is really a 25th rated, basically type player at quarterback position, and a lot of people are down on the Titans, let alone Marcus.
I mean, he's part of a big group of good quarterbacks. How exactly those guys shape up, I don't know. I wrote about it shortly after the season. The issue for the Titans is, at best, he's probably the third best quarterback, and this was before Jacksonville had signed Nick Foles in the division, and that's going to make it hard to get to the playoffs. Now, when the Titans got to the playoffs with Mariota a couple years ago, he absolutely looked like a guy you wanted playing in that game. He made plays in the victory over the Chiefs. He made some plays in the game against the Patriots. It wasn't like going up to Foxborough in, what was it, 2007 and getting beat 59-0. They went up there. That was a good playoff game.
They got their butts kicked in that game.
Did they?
Yeah.
I thought it was fairly competitive for a while.
They gave up a lot of sacks
that
game.
They have a lot of sacks. They got their butts kicked in that
game. Okay, well, but he played great at Kansas City.
He did.
And the fact of the matter is, I think Mariota is an NFL quarterback. If he has enough pieces, he's going to win. He's not a guy who's going to transform your franchise, which I think some people thought. I maybe thought that. I don't know. He's impressed me. I'm always worried about the guys coming from the read option offenses in college, and because so many of them haven't done it well in the NFL. But I think Mariota has learned to become an NFL quarterback, but he hasn't, his athleticism and his gifts haven't transformed the Titans the way you thought that maybe they could.
David Beauclair in the studio with us. Let's get to some calls. Jason in Nashville. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Appreciate it. So I rack my brain about this, because I think with this situation, I don't know if you guys agree. I mean, Mariota is a classy guy. He's everything you want in a quarterback as far as image wise. He's great with the community. He's great, in certain aspects, but the numbers, like I agree with David, are just not adding up to put him in a Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, in that type of category. I've always looked at Mariota as a great backup quarterback. He would be great somewhere just to be a backup just because of his inconsistency and him being injured. But my question is, like, if he does continue down this path, and obviously I'm thinking that's what's going to happen, does this more fall on John Robinson because John Robinson took him from the draft?
No, he didn't draft. John Robinson didn't draft him.
Okay. I didn't know if it fell on John Robinson more than it does Mike Vrabel. I didn't know how that worked out. So on that part.
Yeah, that was Rustin Webster, Ken Wisenhunt era when Mariota was drafted. But I think most people probably in that situation would have drafted Mariota number two as it was. I don't think you could look back and say, wow, there's so many obvious holes in his game. You should have seen it. I think based on what that draft was and what the situation was, I would think most general managers would have done the same thing at that point.
Our guest is David Beauclair from the Nashville Post. He's brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. This is the Wake Up Zone powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We'll come back. I have a special guest with us from the Titans, Dennis Kelly, will join us for a few minutes. Look forward to that. More of our show and more with David coming up next here on the... .1045 The Zone, 7:18 the time here in the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We have David Beauclair in the house from the Nashville Post, also brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. You can go buy any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have some fun with those instant games today. Titans having OTAs over the next couple weeks, and we're joined by Titans lineman Dennis Kelly. Dennis, how you doing this morning?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Real quick, non-football question. Blaine, of course, likes to call you the Undertaker, and you're a big wrestling fan. Have you met the real Undertaker, Mark Calloway, who lives in nearby Murfreesboro?
No, actually, I haven't. I've met a couple of guys, but I haven't been able to cross that one off the list yet.
Who is your guy in wrestling?
Obviously, it's the Undertaker, kind of ironically enough. Grew up always really enjoying him, and then I continued to grow my hair, so it kind of worked out.
How much can you guys get done as far as building chemistry on the offensive line, and especially with the new face or two during these spring practices?
I would say a decent amount. There's always so much we can do during the OTA period, but just being around each other, getting to know each other. Really starting to, mesh as teammates and friends can go a long way for us.
Dennis Kelly, our guest from the Tennessee Titans, offensive lineman, has done a great job when he's been called upon.
Yeah, I do call you the Undertaker, by the way. I'm sure that's fine with you. But, the NFL draft was here, and they came out with all the economic numbers, man. Did you get a chance to... enjoy the festivities and everything. I saw you and your daughter was running the 40 at the NFL Experience. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. I think she may have gotten you on that 40 there, by the way, buddy.
Yeah, I think she got me on the start, so I was trying to play catch up. But no, it was fantastic. It was one of those things where I think everything lined up perfectly with, where they had the stage, where they had the NFL Experience, the stadium. It was spaced out really, really well. And then obviously, the aspect of Broadway. So I was very pleased and very excited for the city because it was cool to see that they could show up and hold something so big and, knock it out of the ballpark.
And I was seeing on your social media that you graduated from the Kelly School of Graduates for, I think, was that IU? What was that experience like?
It was really unique. It was one of those things where, while I was in Philly, I wasn't playing a bunch. And so I was kind of wondering if I might be on the last leg of my career. So I said I might want to try and start looking to prepare for after football. Then the trade happened. I came here and, I kind of fell into it now, but it was really, I thought it was really, really beneficial. There were some classes that were actually really practical and really like hands-on experience type. So I'm really appreciative to be able to do it.
I guess one last question. I have to ask you a football question. It seemed to me when you were in the lineup on the offensive line that the offensive line gelled and played better. Did it seem that way to you when you watched tape? It just seems like you guys were on the same page, a little bit better with Conklin missing a lot of time in the off season as well as in the regular season.
You know, I don't know if that's necessarily the way I would put it. I just, you know, when I get in there, you know, my job is to make sure that there's no drop off, and so that's why I try to take a lot of pride in. You know, we were able to string together a couple of good games when I got in there, so I just tried to make sure that there wasn't any drop off or any liability when I get in there.
Dennis, what about your role? Because obviously, you know, you're the first guy in. You know, you've played a lot over the last few years. You obviously, I guess, have to prepare throughout the week like you're going to start, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the challenging part of being that first guy in is trying to realize and understand and study for every position you can go into instead of focusing on the one spot that you would know if you're starting. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, preparing like you're going to start and then not playing much is a much better feeling than thinking you're not going to play and then having to go in 3 plays into a game.
Speaking of Titans offensive lineman Dennis Kelly, what's the best advice you can give Nate Davis, the Titans' third-round draft pick, you know, coming in and battling for a starting spot?
You know, I would just say to really have a growth mindset. You know, you come in, every rookie comes in after being the big dog at their school, and, you know, you're going into, you know, a much bigger, you know, body of water, you know, with the whole fish comparison. But him coming in and taking advice from everyone, from Taylor, from Jack, from Ben, from me, from Saf, you know, everyone on the roster, just to learn not only football technique and, you know, fundamentals, but like the process and learning, figuring out what works well for your body and what you need to do to make sure that you're ready to be able to go.
Do I have this right? Your brother's now the offensive coordinator of the Texans. How does that work, and who are your parents going to root for?
Yeah, no, I'm very, very proud of him. He's worked his tail off. Was able to catch on with OB when he got to Penn State. And, you know, it just continues to add a much more interesting dynamic to our game against Houston. So, you know, my mom has a hard time just because she knows how competitive some of us can get and doesn't want, you know, future family outings to get kind of awkward if something are said.
Dennis, you had the illness last fall, and, you know, you talked about the uncertainty of exactly what happened. How scary was that? What were you thinking about your career possibilities going through that?
Yeah, it definitely was, you know, a scary couple of weeks there, mostly because of the unknown. You know, you mentioned the uncertainty, and you're sitting there, you know, in the hospital room, you're trying to figure out what the hell is going on, if you're just sick, if it's a virus, if it's something a lot more serious, if you have to start considering, you know, what are you going to do after this? And so when you don't have a lot of answers but a lot of time, your mind starts to wander a bit.
What were the worst symptoms? Like, what were you dealing with? How did you feel bad?
You know, I'd rather not say for privacy and not to bring anything bad up for my wife. But it wasn't great. And so, you know, I had to stay in the hospital for the Texans game weekend. So that was kind of a crappy moment.
What about the addition of Roger Saffold? How much better does that make the offensive line? And he's a Purdue guy, or rather, he's an Indiana guy. You're a Purdue guy. Does that create old Oak and Bucket hatred?
Well, I don't know if there can be much hatred on his part. He didn't win it that often, but he's a great player. You know, he has a lot of experience, and, you know, played next to a bunch of great players too. And so it's going to be great to have him, his experience, his knowledge, and obviously his ability to come in and, you know, do great things for us.
Dennis Kelly, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. All the best and good health as you get into these off-season workouts and head toward the summer here.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Appreciate Have a good day. Turn the key. Dennis Kelly, our guest here on the Wake Up Zone from the Titans, offensive lineman, and he's been a really good addition to this team. Yeah. Really versatile guy.
Great addition, man. He's kind of saved the day multiple times.
The second coming of Jason Matthews.
I was going to just say that, you know? Yeah.
I mean, one of your former teammates playing, and that was a guy who was invaluable to this team for a while.
He really was.
And just one of those guys that you could drop him in the middle of a game, and he'd be ready to play.
Don't miss a beat, man. Yep. You got to have those guys on the roster. Maybe so much so, maybe he becomes a starter.
Possible.
Maybe.
After the season, man. Or maybe this season.
Be interesting to see if we see him working at guard much throughout the throughout training camp and all. If they give him a look there,
I'm gonna just say this question right here.
That's
before
a big
you say
body.
That.
You know, like the trend is to get bigger at guards, and he is a big body.
We're big, but how many 6'7" guards do you know?
Right. Yeah. I agree, but.
Now, they've gotten bigger. I don't know if that translates to being taller.
To being 6'8"?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 6'7", 6'8", man, that's tough down there, man. Some guy's going to get all up in his chest. Yeah.
And again, they've used him as a blocking tight end. And sir, we didn't get a chance to really ask him about that, but would have been interested to see how much action he's going to see at that position.
More David Beauclair from the Nashville Post on the way. 7:28 the time. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. And our visit every week with David is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery as well. Brian is going to tell us about Eurofix.
Yes, if you've ever been frustrated with whoever worked on your vehicle because you weren't allowed to go to the service bay and talk to the technician to show them the problem, then you have to bring it back a second or a third time to get the same thing fixed, right? That's so annoying. Blaine Bishop here to tell you about Eurofix. Eurofix takes the irritation out of auto repair on European makes. Eurofix is happy to take you to the service bays at the back of the shop so you can talk to the technician and get to know him personally and so he can understand your problem so you don't bring it back a second and a third time or so how many times you need to. But while you're back there, you'll see that it's all clean, no oil puddles, dirt, trash, or grime all over the floor to ruin your clothes or shoes, of course. And if you felt lied to by other repair centers, come to Eurofix. It's a place you can trust. You don't need an appointment like others insist. Just drop right on in. Eurofix provides you with a free rental car with every repair, plus a 3-year, 36,000-mile nationwide warranty on every repair so you drive with confidence. So for Eurofix nearest you, give a call. 844-EUROFIX. That's 844-EUROFIX. Or you can check them out online at MyEurofix.com.
The Zone, 7:34, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Not Beverly Hills, it's Nashville. Got our friend David Beauclair in the house, brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery as well. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have a little fun with those instant games. 615-737-1045. David covers all of it for the Nashville Post. Check out his work at NashvillePost.com.
Yeah, David, I wanted to ask you, I guess, quickly before you get back to Mark as Mark, about the NFL draft maybe coming back, but first and foremost about the economic impact it had on the city.
They were big, man, big numbers.
Huge, yeah. And will it come back sooner than later?
Yeah, I think my guess is when the NFL starts recycling draft cities now, Nashville will be first or second on the list. Just for those numbers alone. Now, I mean, I'm not a financial wizard. A lot of that doesn't mean anything. But when you tell me that it was 79% increase in economic impact and 79% increase in direct spending over Dallas the year before, and I remember how big a deal Dallas was watching that on TV. I mean, that tells you a lot. And the interesting things were, and this is one of the things that I discovered quickly when I moved to Nashville, and I've always talked to people about, you know, one of the great appeals of this place is you can get here from anywhere pretty easily. And a lot of people traveled here for the draft, and the majority of people who traveled here did so by car. You know, like that's the sort of thing that I think the NFL will look at too and go, that is good for us. You know, when you've got, you know, it was Nashville, but it wasn't just Titans fans. You had You had people coming from St. Louis, maybe if they still care about the Rams. You had people coming up from Atlanta. You had people from Carolina, Indianapolis, Cincinnati. You know, you can get here easily from all those places. And that was one of the things in the numbers that jumped out to me is how many people drove here. And you know, the average hotel night stay was 2.8 nights. So most people didn't come for just a day, too. They came and they stayed and they took part. Mm. I mean, those are things that you look at if you're the NFL and you go, this thing, beyond just money, this thing was a success in terms of our league connecting with our fans.
Mm. How do you think the league looks at it, too, when they go somewhere like Cleveland or, you know, they're going to Vegas next year? That'll be a big Kansas show, City. But... do they look at these places and say, hey, if Nashville did it, these guys could put on every big bit of a much of a show? And is it almost unrealistic to expect some of those places to duplicate what happened here?
Well, we'll find out. But I was trying to picture like how things would work out in Cleveland. And I think Cleveland will do fairly well, too. But
you got to think there would be some kind of Pro Football Hall of Fame tie in there with that.
See, I think Nashville sort of broke the paradigm as far as holding it in a, you know, in an indoor facility, you know, with limited capacity. And now I think they see the appeal of holding it outdoors, but you know, it's got to be the right setup, and Lower Broadway is perfect. Now, I don't know if, you know, Cleveland, I think, you know, has a similar setup, you know, in their downtown.
Yeah, you've got the state. You know, there's sort of bridges that you go over to get to the stadium, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The road that leads to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They could do that. So,
yeah, will they get the same? Will they get the same amount of turnout? Will it? You know, I think logistically it can set up similar to Nashville, but, you know, does Cleveland function as well as a city as Nashville does? That's the one thing we've seen time and time again in this town is different entities work well together and make these events happen well. And I just don't know that happens other places.
Well, and it's kind of funny because isn't it true that for so many years, Nashville was always lacking in something to host a big event or to bring something? You know, it's like with NASCAR now. You know, there were so many reasons for them not to come to Nashville. Now they desperate. Nashville has literally become the girl, you know, you went to high school with that became the hot chick 10 years later. Yeah. You know, because now everybody wants to be a part of the action here. And, you know, NASCAR is going to come here probably. And
they're bringing their awards banquet this fall. I mean, that's a start, certainly.
But you know, with the NHL All-Star Game and the outdoor viewing parties, you know, Nashville has redefined a lot of different events, and that's given those particular leagues, the NHL and the NFL, sort of a different view of those events, and they've changed accordingly.
Yeah, and the thing you wonder is if like Vegas, it doesn't go nearly, you know, you don't get the attendance numbers. It doesn't do nearly as well. And then you go to Cleveland and it's kind of comparable to Vegas. Like, I mean, has Nashville ruined this for other places?
That's sort of the nature of my question, to ask you to begin with.
Yeah. I think it's entirely possible. But the flip side of that is, If and when it comes back to Nashville, will it have the same feel, or is it one of those things that is it an event where you've seen it once, you've done it once, it was great, you know, it won't have the same cachet the next time around? I don't know that. I mean, what Chicago had it 2 years in a row, right, when they started to take it on the road, it was with Philly. One of them had it 2 years in a row. I think it was Chicago, and it seemed to be building a little bit there.
I think given some distance between now and then whenever it comes back again, I think if you wait about 5 years, I think it'll be every bit as big of a deal if it came back here another time.
Because I think people will start looking forward to it again at a certain point and say, yeah, that was fun. And the people who didn't go, who have heard all about it, will be lining up to get down there this time too.
7:41 the time. David Beauclair is our guest from the Nashville Post. Would like to join us here, 615-737-1045. What's ahead for the Preds in the offseason? We'll post some of those questions to David just a moment here on the Wake Up Zone. Mark, and a word about Wilson County Hyundai first, though.
Well, Payne Bone, of course, the big boss at Wilson County Hyundai, very excited about their inventory. It could be their pre-owned fleet. It could be their 2019s. But what he wants to know, wants you to know, is that every purchase at Wilson County Hyundai represents selection at its best, and the savings make each and every Hyundai a true value buy. If you're shopping sports utilities, they're going to have you summer ready. The 2019 Santa Fe is their most advanced SUV ever, and with the Tucson and the all-new Kona, well, you can compare them side by side. You can also compare the Elantra and Sonata. They're both value at its best. If Hyundai makes it, Wilson County Hyundai has it. With America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty and Hyundai Assurance. And Wilson County Hyundai's close, right there in Lebanon, just 20 minutes east of the airport, and their family. They look forward to seeing you in the showroom or shop online at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Have a great Hyundai day.
The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery at 7:47. Our guest is David Beauclair from the Nashville Post. Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. David, talk a little Predators during this segment. Does it feel like it's like the time is ticking closer to when the Stanley Cup Finals end, and we start to get some sort of clarity on what might be ahead for this Preds team?
Yeah, I was having a conversation with a neighbor the other day. I almost can't fathom that 2 years ago the Preds were still playing, you know. And,
right.
And, I mean, because that whole run was such a blur. It didn't feel like it was as long a time as it clearly is. But, I mean, Preds have been out of the playoffs for a month now, right? I mean, it's just, quote Tom Petty, the waiting is the hardest part right now. You just kind of, if you're the Preds, if you follow the Preds, I think you're exactly right, Kevin. You want – kind of want the cup to be over, and let's get on to the next thing, see what's going to happen.
Do you agree with Scott Burns' side of the Athletic that their window of opportunity is slammed shut?
Not slammed shut, but I think, I've said it. I think they made a big mistake last year. I think they need to do some things to rectify it. Now, Pierre LeBrun at the Athletic talked to David Poile last week, and David is sort of – he's speaking much less aggressively in terms of what he's, what he might or might not do. He sort of seems to have calmed down a little bit from immediately following the season, and I think he's taking a little bit more measured approach right now than maybe we thought he would have. You know, we'll see what it turns up, but it feels entirely possible now that whatever changes will be smaller ones that he makes.
Well, I disagree. I think he's going to make some big changes, but I think
he's going to explore big changes. But like one thing he said, and this is not a new way of thinking for David. He has said the same sorts of things to me over the years. You know, he's not going to make change just for change's sake.
But
you know, he's going to try to maximize what he can do, but he, you could tell reading the quotes, his sense of disappointment has softened a little bit.
Well, but do you think Kyle Turris's really strong play for Team Canada in the World Championships changes his view of him?
Absolutely not. I mean, why the whole thing with Kyle Turris is Kyle Turris likes to have room to operate. You've got room to operate over there. You're playing against lesser talent. You know, NHL defensemen are on top of him. They push him around. They hit him hard in the places where battles take place. I mean, we've seen what Kyle Turris is for this team. If it does change David Poile's opinion of him, then David Poile's not the general manager I think he is.
All right. I don't think there's any secret that Poile's great white whale is now Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. The opinion around the league is that if the Predators aren't the favorites to land them, they're one of them, maybe with Columbus, and you know another team or two is going to jump in there. Now, the thing with David has always been, he tries to get the player to take a little bit of a discount. No state sales tax. You know, the great atmosphere in Nashville. Duchesne loves Nashville. Will he be the guy that David's going to bring in? And if so, how does he clear cap space?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think there's any question Matt Duchesne is number one on the target list. Now, what does Matt Duchesne want? Does he just want to come to Nashville? Does he want to get the biggest contract he can get? If it's the biggest contract he can get, there's a pretty good chance somebody is going to be able to offer more money than the Predators do. You know, again, we've talked about this. The easy answer is you trade PK Subban. That would unload the biggest amount of money from your salary cap pool.
What about Ellis and Bonino?
You gotta find somebody to take him. You know, Bonino, I like Bonino. I think Bonino's a useful player.
If you're bringing in Duchesne, he's going to center the second line, which means Turris is going to center the third line.
See, I disagree. I think Bonino is the guy who can fill in. I think, and we saw this last year, Bonino can play a number of different roles. If Kyle Turris is not your second line center, Kyle Turris can't do anything to help you. He's not physical enough. He's not tough enough to be a third or fourth line center.
But that definition has changed now in the league.
It has, but Kyle Turris has to be productive in some way. Kyle Turris hasn't been productive. Bonino was a guy who produced in a lot of different roles last year. I think, to me, Turris is, you know, he's limited in what he can offer you. And if you're getting Matt Duchesne, then Kyle Turris doesn't have a spot on this team.
I just think it's going to be easier for them to unload, to trade Turris and trade Ellis rather than offload Turris. I think they're stuck with Turris for at least another year.
It could be. I mean, that contract is a tough one to unload, and unless Nashville is willing to eat some of that salary, and that's sort of defeating the purpose of creating salary cap room. So, Ellis. The question with Ellis is, I don't think there's any question people would like to have Ryan Ellis on their team. Is he diminished goods at this point? He looked like an injured player to me all last year, and the discussions with David Poyle, or the reactions of David Poyle and Peter Laviolette and Ryan Ellis when you asked about Ryan Ellis's injury situation at the end of the season suggested that he's very much injured and not the same player. So, he's a guy I don't think gets traded. Particularly because he's going to be just starting a new contract. I mean, you signed him to that deal. Now you're going to unload him before he ever plays a game under that new deal. That doesn't seem like a likely scenario to me.
David, our final couple minutes here. Vanderbilt goes to the SEC tournament.
J.J. Bleda just got another hit.
Yeah, he did. He had five hits, and they wiped out Auburn in a run rule game. Isn't it interesting, though, for a team like Vandy, other than pride and just trying to win a championship, they really are not playing for a whole lot in Birmingham this week because they know they're going to host all the way through in the postseason.
Yeah, but, you know, Vanderbilt has been one that when they've been in this situation, they've typically played pretty well down there. They're not one that goes in and just is willing to mail it in. And the fact that, you know, Tim Corbin just sort of stuck with his lineup, rolled Mason Hickman out on the
midweek
the
start.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like we're going in our order. This is what we do. I mean, they're now they've got their weekend rotation. They're set up beautifully for this thing. I think they like to win, and they're gonna try and win. You know, Tim talked about it during the Kentucky series after they clinched the regular season title that. You know, the last thing you want to do is send a message to your kids that a game or doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're gonna they have nothing at stake. You're exactly right, but I think they're gonna try and win this thing, and they certainly have as good a chance as anybody to do it.
Well, yeah, they just need to put, you know, Major League Baseball in front of Vandy's name because that's how they go about their business. I mean, seriously, now I think they're going to try to win. I think this in their DNA. I think all these guys try to win. I think they'll relax. They go out there and as a pro, they're professionals. They go out there and do what they do every week. And if it plays out that that they lose, oh well. But if they win, they're going to keep it rolling. They want to get hot going into the regular tournament.
Well, that, and that's one thing, you use that term pro, like I think it was Day's third hit. It was a double down the left field line. You took a curveball the other way, and he was just cruising into, you know, it was like watching a major league player. It's like he knew from two steps out of the box, this is a double. You know, I'm not gonna run so hard thinking maybe it's a trip. Like he just, you know, there wasn't a play at second or anything like that. He's just so good and so die. And what is it like on base 83 of his last 84 games or something? I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah, I think there's only been one game this season that he lost his on base streak back in March, I believe it was.
And he's first player since 2003, I think I saw, to have five hits in an SEC tournament game. I mean, just
it's been a while.
He's remarkable.
David, great as always. Have a good weekend.
All right, everybody, take care.
David Beauclair from the Nashville Post, nashvillepost.com, where you can read his work. He is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery, proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education in Tennessee. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery as well. Coming up, a deal gets done with a first rounder and no quick exit for Vandy at the SEC tourney.